So, ladies and gentlemen, anybody have any questions about English conversation partners or the buddy, cross-cultural buddy partner program that someone at your table hasn't answered? I can see I'm real popular here today. Okay. In the future, if you have any questions, please contact us at IFI and we'll answer everyone that we can.
That was a great presentation.
David.
This was hard work. I really had to prepare for this.
David, how about ask if anybody has any interesting experiences that they would like to share?
I thought I already did that.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm busy sharing.
That's all right. Hi, Nancy.
You want me to tell you my story?
Sure.
Yeah, share your story. Oh, I better move this mic down.
Yeah, you better lower it a little bit.
Okay.
State your name.
My name is Lisa. Can you hear me? My name is Lisa Friedberg, and I've been in IFI since 2006. And I've met a lot of Chinese students over the years that I even actually got to go visit some of them in 2010. I visited them in Shanghai, and they put me on a train to go to Nanjing. Then they put me on another train to go to Wuhan, and then I flew into Beijing. But my story is, about 2012, I had a student named Yali, and she was going back to China, but she secured an apartment for her friend Kansi, and she asked me to get Kansi to her apartment. So I got her to the apartment, but it wasn't ready yet, so she ended up having to stay at my place for 4 nights. So I was showing her my church's website, and I was showing her the teaching about the blind man, which is John 9. And my teacher was really good, and he said, the more that the blind man proclaimed Christ, he could see, and the more that the Pharisees denied Christ, they were blind. And I just thought, oh, that's a great teaching. Yes. So in November of that year, Gary, my teacher, was going to do it again, and I took her to that teaching, and I even told Gary how impactful that teaching was way back when and that it still was. And so then Kansi and I got in the car, and I said, see, that was really easy, wasn't it? And she didn't say much more, and so we just kind of let it go. So I think it was February of that year, of the next year, I took her to the airport, and I said, so what did you think about the teaching that you heard? I said, well, you said it was easy, and I did it. I said, what? You did it. She didn't tell me that she accepted Christ, but, you know, Gary had spelled it out and said it was really easy, and she was really listening. So this is about 2013 that she went back, and I get to text her periodically now. In fact, I think I do, like, around Easter and Christmas and everything. So 1 year I texted her on Easter, and she says, oh, I got baptized today. So she's back in her country. She's been back in her country since 2013, and she's still an active believer, but her name is Kansi. And I don't hear much from Yali, but I check on her periodically through Kansi. So that's one of the many amazing stories that I've experienced in IFI since 2006.
Anybody else?
I'm going to share.
Share.
Hi, I'm Charmaine Albright, the better half. And we've been involved as volunteers with IFI since 2012. And this year, I had the privilege of being able to recently retire, so I came on staff as associate campus minister. And early in the spring, I was approached, could I be a conversation partner for a a PhD candidate. And so I began to meet with her remotely, and we met weekly. And then she's from Indonesia. And for me, this was the first time I ever had a really close relationship with someone who was Islamic. And so I was constantly praying for sensitivity and you know, just wisdom. And so anyway, long story short, she went back to Indonesia over the summer and came back with her two children. And I guess this is what I'm trying to say is sometimes conversation partners morph into something else. And I realized when they talked about the buddy program, that's exactly what we had become. When her kids came back, her needs just exponentially exploded. So we helped her move. We helped her get settled in. And her PhD advisor sent her on an assignment early in this fall semester where she was to go to Newark and be there by 8 o'clock in the morning. But her children had to be driven downtown to school, to their elementary school. She had a 4-year-old who was in pre-K and a 10-year-old who was in the fifth grade. And so she was very distraught and tearful. And so I was talking to David, and I said, we've got to do something about this, because she's going to wind up having to drop out of her program if she doesn't complete this. She went to her advisor, and he pretty much said, look, if you come here for this, you follow the rules. No exceptions. And so although she wanted to complain that he was insensitive to people with children, essentially his answer to her was, there are plenty of people here with families and they all make it work. And so David and I were talking, and so I said, we've got to do something. And we realized that as much as I was willing to drive the kids to school and David was willing to drive her to Newark, it probably wasn't a good idea. And so, anyway, long story short, David said, I'll take the kids to school. And he had never met them. So that Friday morning, we got over to her house like at 7 o'clock in the morning so David could get introduced to her kids. And I took Tia, left with her at about 7:45 to go to Newark, and then came back. And I asked him, how did it go? And he goes, well, you know, her daughter, Hira, she was 10. And she's a very mature 10-year-old. That's all I can tell you. She's like a little mother. She's so sweet. And so she nurtures her brother and helps him to feel okay. So he did get in the car. He did go off to school. Then my conversation partner contacted me in the middle of the day, and she said, I'm not going to get back in time to get the kids from school. Can you pick them up? And so I went to pick them up, and of course, her kids knew me. They had seen me and multiple times. So Kenza comes to the car, Hira comes to the car, and little Kenza, 4-year-old, thank God I had the wherewithal to think Halloween was coming up, and I thought, I'm going to bring some candy for those kids because they've been through it today. So I brought a bunch of chocolate, and I was able to win Kenza over, who wasn't going to speak to me at all because I sent the man who took him away from his mother. But anyway, long story short is sometimes we start out as a conversation partner. It kind of morphs into something else. But I think it's just so important to realize that when you become a conversation partner, you make a commitment to a student, it's so important to be aware of what they're struggling with, what they need. It's really not so much about what I have to say, but about what she's going through and what her needs are. And just thank God that he was able to use us in that way, and the relationship continues to build. And so, anyway, that's... That one was a one-time thing, although I picked up her kids several times when she couldn't get out of class. So we do, we just...
Trick-or-treat.
And we took them, yes, they had never been trick-or-treating. It didn't even occur to me to invite her because I thought, she would never do that. But she, during a conversation in the approaching week, she said, I remember when I went to school in Florida and her oldest daughter, Hira, was just a little tiny girl. I dressed her up as a princess and we went trick-or-treating and she had so much fun. And I said, do you want to do that again? And she goes, they don't trick-or-treat in my neighborhood, because she does live in a very concentrated Muslim area of University Village. And I said, well, you want to come up to my neighborhood? So we brought the kids up on Halloween, and they had a ball. In fact, she said when they got home, they counted out their candy and divvied it out for the days, you know. And it was just such a prize to them, which to me was just a lot of fun, because we hadn't trick-or-treated in eons. And so it was a lot of fun, and I was glad to be able to do it.
Have time for one more.
Got to move it up. I'm March, and I've been with IFI. I started out as a conversation partner in 2009. I was matched with a graduate student in geodetic science, earthquakes, you know, tsunami stuff. Her husband, she had just married before she came to OSU. Her husband came a year later. Our conversations were at McDonald's at University Village every Saturday morning for about an hour, and we would draw pictures and, look up words on our phones, et cetera. She and her husband and her six-year-old son, we've been best of friends. I call her my Chinese daughter because we are so close. She got a tenure-track teaching position at Louisiana State University, so I helped drive them down there in July. I'm so sad, so sad. But we do talk FaceTime every Wednesday night. It's just blossomed into a wonderful little family. And I have a six-year-old grandson. So, yeah.
Great. You know, listening to stories, it just reminds me that you never know where you're going to go with this and what's going to happen. I'll give you an example. She was never an English conversation partner. She attended just one of our Friday night Bible discussion, Sarah Tan. She was from Singapore. We helped her move when her sister came. We picked her sister up, found them furniture, and did a whole bunch of other things for her. And through the years, anytime she went back to Singapore, we'd be at the airport to pick her up, bring her back, but she just never got involved with the Friday night Bible discussion. And she is a believer. She went to a Christian school in Singapore. But her walk, from what I could see, was not a steady walk. That's a good way to say it. But Sarah left, graduated, got her degree in neuroscience, and got a job. And we were praying for her. I said, the Lord's going to open doors for you, Sarah. And she went down to Louisville, Kentucky, and got a job. She was doing some volunteer work for the vaccination process down there at the University of Louisville. And a lady walked up to her who was head of the vaccination department. Well, it's called vaccination and travel, you know, and offered her a job. And so she got the job. So she worked for the University of Louisville, and they've sent her to Indian Reservation out in New Mexico for vaccinations. And just recently she left because the lady who was head of the department went to a medical center, and now she followed her, and she's working at a medical center. She just came up 2 weeks ago at our home on my birthday. I turned 27. okay. And yeah, she called up and says, I'm going to come up. And so she came up on my birthday, stayed overnight, and we went out to my son's restaurant. We had dinner, and it was a great time. We talked about different things, a little bit about the Lord. And you just never know where a relationship will go from there on. Praise God. Amen. Amen.